Atlanta Tennis Podcast. Every episode is titled, It Starts With Tennis, and goes from there. We talk with coaches, club managers, industry business professionals, technology experts, and anyone else we find interesting. We want to have a conversation as long as it starts with tennis.
Hey, hey, this is Sean with the Atlanta Tennis Podcast, powered by Go Tennis. Check out our calendar of Metro Atlanta tennis events at letsgotennis.com. And if you're interested in joining the podcast, please consider sharing your tennis story. Go to letsgotennis.com/my story and enter our monthly giveaways with each story you share. And we will pick one story every month to share on the Atlanta Tennis Podcast. Also, click that follow button in your podcast player. We promise to make following the show worth your time. And with that, let's get into our conversation with Alexander Johansson of Rackets, spelled R-A-Q-T-S, which is a magic hitting wall for tennis and pickleball. Check it out and let us know what you think. Who is Alexander Johansson? And I got to ask, is it Johansson? Is it Johansson? Correct me to start.
Either one. Either one is good.
Either one is fine. All right. So yeah. Alexander Johansson. Looks like you've got a lot going on in the tennis world. So tell me about you and what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I am in the core. I'm a tennis coach, a developmental junior coach. Started off playing some college tennis, came over from the golden era in Swedish tennis. Played some of that, did a little bit of college coaching, and then got into junior coaching. And then fairly quickly, I got into productive use of technology in coaching. So while I've been starting academies, now I'm running an academy up in New England. While I've been doing that on the side, instead of having friends, I've been working hard on trying to use technology productively in coaching and learning our sport.
Okay, so using technology, I see a couple of different names. I see Rackets, of course. I assume that's pronounced just like Rackets, even though it's R-A-Q-T-S. Yes. I like that. That's unique.
Yes.
But then there's also Tennis Techie. What's that?
Yeah, so I started off actually creating a skill building app for the triangle of parent, player, and coach a long time ago. That was right when the iPhones came out, because I figured I was actually doing something in terms of skill building with little cards with the kids. And I figured we can leverage the phones to do that and involve everybody and what have you. So it was actually a very good tool, but I never really commercialized it. But because of that, I got into teaching coaches a little bit about usage of tools like that, as well as video. Specifically technical video initially. And then it went to match analysis. And I ended up actually working for A&M for a season while they were number three in the nation, which was a great experience.
Sorry, which A&M?
The Aggies.
Texas A&M
College Station.
Okay. Yeah, there's more than one, right?
There's a lot of them in the States.
Okay, just making sure we're... It's not the Georgia A&M.
Yes. Yeah, no, I was living in Texas for 17 years. So
okay, Bobby's got some history in Texas. I'm sure he'll bring that up.
I'm going to say I'm hanging up now. The whole Aggie thing has already disrupted this conversation.
I'm sorry to say it.
I'm done.
That was a horn frog. The TCU comes out.
It's coming out.
Oh, there you go. They're good. David Roditi, great guy. I did some of that, which was a great experience. I still have a lot of use of that experience, really. And I've been doing many different things in technology and educating coaches, speaking a lot on it, because there's basically been flashy tools out there, and there's a little bit of a generation gap, so people are not looking at them as actual tools like they used to, with physical tools or even drills. I've been kind of making my mission to bridge that gap. And then about 4.5 years ago, I realized that the backboard 2.0 was possible. So I I set out to try to do that medium justice, because from what I've seen in terms of smart courts, etc., it's been either big companies kind of checking the box that they did technology, or it's been a technology company trying in the end somehow to connect with the end user versus kind of the other way around. So I took that one on, and that has led to Racket, which is a kind of comprehensive 360 experience with a interactive wall practice and playing. So
okay, and before we dive deep into Rackets, there's one more thing called Hoplu. What's that?
Yeah, so that was the skill building app that I initially created. Yes.
Okay.
And then that was a long way to get all the way to Tennis Techie, but I just started a Facebook group, and I was constantly testing different things from like 2008 or so. And I was constantly talking to tennis technology companies. So it just became a little bit of a hub where people could go and look for the latest, you know, hopefully productive use of technology. So it kind of took on a life of its own. I've, again, never really commercialized anything, but I wanted to be an evangelist of usage of technology in actual coaching.
And so you would be a positive advocate of video on a tennis court as a coach. If I'm a coach, to video the player and show them what's going on. It sounds familiar, Bobby, because we just talked to Ian Westerman, and obviously he's probably one of the more famous positive advocates for video on a tennis court.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is amazing it's taken this long, but I feel like, it almost skipped the technical. I can kind of get back to that, but I think because of the portable versions now, which are not necessarily very accurate yet, but really good attempts, I think they are skipping the coach and the organization and go straight to the end user. So for the first time, the end user really, which is the parent in junior tennis, have some fear of missing out. So I think it's going to drive it pretty quickly. So I think that the sum of that is just a positive. It's great. It's absolutely great. And I think when it comes to the technical part, that one is it's a stew at this point in my mind, because you have so much content online, and coaches have not utilized it very well, I would say, on an average. But now I'm seeing, at least in our area, there is a lot of parents that are now looking for these technical videos as evidence of whether or not their child is doing the right thing or not. So they find commonalities online and things that maybe they see in some course online. And if the kid is not exactly like that, then there is a problem. So it's a tricky situation right now. It's great that they want to use video, but to use it the right way is we are going to have a lot of responsibility, I feel, more than ever now coming up as coaches.
So Bobby, you want to tell him how right he is in skipping trying to monetize the coach with the technology and going straight to the parent and the player?
I was going to say that I completely agree. Other than I'm laughing, having just been to the doctor this morning with a hypochondriac daughter who, you know, Googled that. That's what I'm laughing about with the parents. Now they're going to Google, they're going to look, but they're not going to know how to diagnose or, you know, or fix. So yes, as Alexander said, it's going to create a lot of opportunities and a lot of interesting circumstances for coaches. But yes, I'm a big fan of the end user. Obviously we've spoken about it, and you know, they're going to come to their coaches and say, why aren't you using this, or what about this? And that's what's going to get the coaches motivated.
I agree 100%. So it is, the sum of it I think is good, but we're going to have a lot of responsibility. And it's I mean, the other big portion of that is the tangibles you can see, and common sense for parents is basically comparing my 8-10-year-old to Alcaraz's forehand, and it's there is a little bit of time in between there that we need to be doing the education on, and we don't have that much footage on Alcaraz at 8 and 10, so
We do have his brother, though. Have you seen his, he has a 12 or 13 year old brother who's amazing. Yep. And it's like, my gosh, you know, but you're
that real? I usually assume those videos are just somebody like, oh, I'm sure this is Dr. Asmobrun.
No, I mean, he's an amazing player, you know, and it's making it harder because I've always been an advocate of multi-sports. And you know, I'm kind of unfortunately changing my perspective a little bit that from a stroke technical perspective, at 11 or 12, you have to be pretty close. If you want to go, even Division I, I think at this point is so, the kids are so good and they're going to be so good. We're going to have more issues about, you know, do they size out? Do they get burned out? But the ability, they're going to have to be pretty technically sound at a younger age than I care to admit.
Yeah.
To continue playing just because everything, you know, it's the perfect storm. People are watching, people are more engaged. The parents have more tools to bring back to the coaches. And it's just creating, you know, a better tennis player or better structurally tennis player.
Yes. Yep.
Now, hopefully somebody's going to do the app that says you don't need to hit the ball as hard as you can every time. And I would love to see, I would hope the next
step. Why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's just to go to the analytics side of it. You know, right now I think we're focusing a lot on stroke production, but I really, and Novak is really the only one on the professional tour that was the earliest to embrace the analytics. And I think we need to do more of that to see, even on the junior level, where these matches are really breaking down.
Yeah, and the just coaches starting to play around with it and look at it, because very few coaches have been looking at it for 15 years now, but the average coach has not. And parents are going to start drawing conclusions. So we need some really quick education and also I think kind of self thinking to in a sense police algorithms, because otherwise you will actually have the companies deciding what's good and bad. Because one of the things I think they definitely will do and are doing to a certain extent already is they try to gamify it and draw conclusions. And it's nice when you have like just one number, like the forehand is now a 76 instead of a 73, but what that's based on is based on them, etc. So yeah, it's going to be a super interesting era. And I just come back to, as coaches, I just hope we're interested enough and play around with it enough to be able to truly help the end consumer at the end of the day.
I like that target.
Do you see yourself, and I think it's a great point, do you see the need almost for a guy who's a coach, quote unquote coach, but who's sitting on the sidelines that's processing video? I mean, I think that's always been the drawback of not using more video until it became handheld. It was just a process. You needed a photographer, you needed a camera. So it got easier when we were able to do it on our phones. It's getting easier now when you can do stroke analysis on the phone, but that's almost a full-time job. And then to really do, and I know there are guys that actually do, you know, you can send them a match and they will break it down and do all the analytics for you. And it's getting to be where they can almost do it in real time. But you know, that's manpower. That's a whole different hat. And a lot of the facilities, unfortunately, just aren't built for that.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm actually surprised colleges. I don't know everything about this with NCAA rules and all of that, and things have changed, but I'm slightly surprised they don't hire coaches in the background to simply deal with the video. It's you can easily have an extra coach. And now it's the human factor, the delivery, what you're seeking out. That is really the trickiest part, as I understand, talking to friends that work with really high level players and their teams. It is they are generally data scientists, and then they're having to try to optimize the relationship with a coach, then ultimately deliver a very simple message. First seeking out what it is they're looking for, and then delivering the message. And that seems to be the hardest part, not the data itself. I guess it's a little bit like the ChatGPT. You know, it's about what question are you asking. It's not what it can do.
Ask the right question. Exactly. Yeah. So my next question, I have some excitement in to get to know this backboard you've got, and I'm trying to picture in my mind the last time I was in a mall, which I don't go to malls very often, but I assume you know where I'm going with this, where the kids running around on the floor with the camera at the top and it's a projector, and they're hitting the bubbles with their feet and they're just having a great time. And it's this interactive carpet is basically what they called it, or what they called it, excuse me. And, but it was a magic, you know, it was a camera at the top and a projector at the top.
Yep.
And it videoed essentially. Is that basically what you're doing? You're projecting onto a wall. Yep. And then when I hit to the wall, the camera knows where on the wall that hit, how fast it's going, all that cool stuff. Tell me about rackets and all the magic.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, you, and you can, so you can think of it as a gigantic iPad on the wall. And essentially we have, you can create two different sizes. And you, for the big one, you can do tennis and you can do pickleball. And the small one is kind of mini tennis slash pickleball. And it's just a simple wall, and you have a sensor that detects it and a projector. So that's the basics of it. It's really over the counter stuff. The thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to create some structure in terms of the games themselves, the targets, etc., and creating a 360 where you get to keep and track your scores, etc. You can do some testing on it, which has been very interesting with the USTA. We've been doing it with the Team USA players up here in New England, and our testing modules have correlated very well to the UTRs. So that's been super interesting. More so than I was expecting, and yeah, it's simply a new medium. You have targets to kind of really lock you in. I did one test one time on myself. It was 10 minutes, 318 balls, focused on every single one. My heart rate was 150 or above 9 out of 10 minutes, and I changed games 3 or 4 times. So it's an interesting new medium. And like I said, we're trying to do it justice, and it's now going to be all about getting it out there. We're just now starting, so
screaming it from the rooftops, right? I remember Bobby remembers a few summers ago, my backhand was broken, and I used a wall at his facility in the summer. I stayed after some lessons, and because we're teaching pros as well by trade, so I just had some extra time, and I thought, you know what, I really need to work on this. I fixed my own backhand with a wall. I wasn't doing anything technical. It was just the reps. I'm a huge proponent of backboards and walls and hitting walls for any racket sports player, but tennis specifically, because that's mostly what we know. I've got one technical question, and I know Bobby's got 1,000 business questions for you. But one technical question. I'm looking at a wall with some sections. Is the wall part of the system, or can I do this projecting onto any flat surface?
So it's essentially we have a certain thing that you can pick up at Lowe's or Home Depot just to keep things consistent, because we want to be able to, when you test, if you're testing in Atlanta, we want to be able to have the same thing up here. So you got that, and you got a hardcore flooring, hopefully, and then we paint that, and that's it. So it's just making sure that it's solid, and it's a certain plywood kind of thing.
Okay,
that's it. So it's really very simple, and it's some standard sizes. So it is not hard to get that part up.
Yeah. 'Cause I'm trying to figure out from a fun testing point of view if I can just plug this in, like I have my projector at home to watch all the movies and fun stuff. Can I just plug this in onto an existing hitting wall? But you're saying right now you want us to go buy something specifically as we test everything out?
Yes. Yeah. And there is some calibration involved and what have you.
Okay.
So it is, fairly permanent setup at this point. It needs to be very accurate.
Okay. So not completely plug and play yet.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Bobby, technically I get it now. So Bobby, if you want to find out how Alexander plans on getting this into the hands of tennis players,
Very well. First, as always, I ask a dopey question. I watched your demo, Alexander. Who has the Andre Agassi forehand that is on your minute in eight demo? Because I was like, wow, somebody's copying Agassi. Who was that? Was that you?
That was probably me. I've never heard that
before. But that is right out of the
Agassi. I'll take that all day long.
He had hair, so I was like, well, it's not Andre, but that was Andre. I was like, wow. So that was pretty impressive. That's and believe me, I'm a big stickler of that. Sean and I, we go through with our website. I don't want the wrong racket, the wrong person demoing it. It's got to look the part. And
it was me, or it was a good junior.
I looked an older person, so I'm guessing.
Oh, okay, that was me.
I'm very good. Like I said, very impressed with the forehand. So that they passed the sniff test right out the bat. The other part you already brought up, which I thought was, this could be an ungodly workout tool. I mean, I'm a big fan of the wall. I was a poor kid, and I always tell the story. I grew up hitting on my aluminum garage door that had a groove about a foot and a half apart. So if you hit the groove, you're fetching the ball. So you had to be really precise with your targets. And I drove my family crazy. I love the wall, and I just see that as an unbelievable training tool as well. It's just, you get your heart rate up. And again, just gives purpose to the practice. And, you know, we're in the land of Atlanta, and, you know, we always try to bring it back to Atlanta, where we have a lot of adults who took up the game later in life, and their purpose is to get the ball over the net. And when as coaches, we try to say, you got to pick a target. You know, we always laugh with adults. We don't spend as much time with targets as we do with juniors, because we're just coaching them different, trying to get them to a different spot. But I think something like this, because we're seeing the proliferation of ball machines all over. You know, they're getting easier to transport. They're cheaper. So people have their own. And so you're seeing people want to get the reps. This, to me, just takes it to a whole nother place. Simplicity and going to give you feedback. And obviously, if your correlation and your algorithms are matching pretty close to UTR, the technology behind it's got to be pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's what we've seen. I, you know, personally, as a complete tennis and development nerd, I love people hitting all out on it and being able to get a lot out of that, even on a high level. But having seen players jump on that are not tennis players, both kids and adults, it's been very, very encouraging and kind of surprising. But I guess the fact that you are controlling everything yourself, and that there is a target that kind of locks you in, is really helpful, because they pick up very quickly in terms of what they do the first minute versus the third or fourth minute is quite astonishing, to be honest.
Well, again, going back to your video, and again, kudos to you for doing it, but that was one of the things I picked up. You were predominantly hitting forehands, and for whatever reason, a ball came out low into your backhand, and you had to slice it to get it back over the net in order to hit the target. And I was like, you know, if you're going out there trying to blast that ball, you're not going to be anywhere near that target. And that in itself, you know, again, I obviously from your forehand, I knew you knew what you were doing, but that to me is hopefully the people who do it would realize, I can't hit that shot and be able to hit that target. The coach can tell you now until he's blue in the face, but when you start seeing it constantly in a short period of time by yourself, I think the recognition could come a lot faster. And again, as anybody who takes it up later, what you're really lacking is the reps. This is a great way to catch up your reps.
Yeah. Yeah. And those intangibles was actually one big motivation for me initially, because I have a hunch that the reason these older guys have been able to hang on at the very top of the game in the world is the intangibles. And part of that, I think, with them was they actually grew up hitting against the wall, whereas a lot of the younger players never did. So in terms of understanding the relationship between you, the opponent, the tempo, in a sense, even though it's trained completely different on a wall, understanding angles, you kind of overtrain it, but in a different way, right? And yes, I mean, I'm seeing certain players in our academy, the first time they jump on it, it's basically they fire the ball and there's no thinking beyond that, right? And maybe the second time they come on it, I've seen a shift in that they hit the ball and then they move. You know, on a very, you know, thinking about it on a very fundamental level. But quite a few players these days, they play the game in terms of, okay, big time stroke production, yes. But there's no dynamic, right? So this really gives you that in overdrive with a lot of reps, I feel.
Well, and you did, again, in just little nuances, as you said, your tempo showed you where you had to stay. You know, yeah. If you're going to prolong and you're going to sustain, this is the tempo you have to be at. You have to be on balance. You have to hit it, as, you know, where your body's under control. And again, and you're going to get the negative feedback. I don't have to tell you. You didn't hit the target. You know, you scored a 40. And unfortunately, with the kids today, they are taught to take tests. You know, and they don't learn anymore, unfortunately, in school. They learn how to take a test. Yep. So this is feeding into the way that they process information anyway. So it's, you know, like I said, okay, so now as on the business side, how much space do you need and when do you see yourself making this available?
Yeah, so it's available right now and it is, it's pretty affordable, I would say. We're looking for pioneer partners, but it's essentially, for us to even come over there and install it, you're looking at about $3,000, and then you can rent the over-the-counter equipment, and then we'll charge you monthly depending on what we decide for unlimited amount of users. So we could do it a little bit of a revenue split, or we could do something that would be very similar to like a monthly fee for a smart court.
Does it have to be inside?
As of right now, yes.
Okay. That's going to be the hard part with Georgia, just because we're so outside dominated.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. And it is a drawback. And quite honestly, it's not about the technology we use that much, apart from projectors/screens outdoors. Right. That is affordable, because that's a huge part of what we're trying to do. Is we're trying to make it, you know, affordable, so you can actually use it.
But if I own a pickleball club, I can bring my kid, and here, go. Yes. You know, I mean, this is a half hour lesson. The $3,000, if you're thinking about it, you should realize you're going to make that back in a very short amount of time. I mean, it's like putting quarters in a pinball machine. The kids will be there. I want another 10 minutes. Sign, you know, here's another $10. It could be insane. It's going to be a matter of where we can put it, what multi-use facilities. I mean, it does bring up some creative stuff, but it's fascinating. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it would be nice to have in a lot of different places. And the kids, we just got in a pickleball club up here in Boston, and it's interesting. So some kids they don't want to leave.
Yeah,
and it's very nice to see.
And then my final question always is: it's amazing in the tennis world, because our conversations began. I just look back 6 years ago when I was consulting with courts. And obviously, I gravitated to somebody who on LinkedIn said they were a tennis techie. And I was like, well, shoot, that's what we want to speak to. Yeah. That, you know, we talked and laughed about courts. We were pen and pencil or paper and pencil. And then 4 years later, you know, there's how many different reserve systems you start doing it. This is a great idea. Do you have a competitor already who's already, you know, simultaneously doing something similar? And it's like, how does that work in tennis? Did everybody just comes to the same good idea at the same time, or?
Yeah, not really, because it's actually it's a little bit tricky, because the ball is small and fast.
Yeah.
So most companies that try to do something similar are not as accurate, or they only take bigger balls essentially.
And then, that's good, because yes, the other company is not tennis specific. It's
that is the biggest thing. We are maximizing absolutely everything we do for racket sports.
Fantastic.
And that becomes very different from a basic floor or interactive wall or display.
Do you do any stroke analysis? Do you have any software involved with that yet? Or are you thinking about that? Or do you just have the person could be running
down the road? There's a lot.
Yes. Technology is fascinating. Yes.
Yes. But right now, and part of what we try to do, really, to be honest, is simplicity is huge in everything.
Yes.
Everything from the visuals to right now we got the target. It's accurate. We have tempo as a factor.
Yes.
So that's where we're at today.
Which is smart, because a lot of the companies that we've spoken to that are more, they're too complicated, and it's always, they have little thing. You're excited and say, okay, but you'll still see holes. Where I think it's starting simple is great. And as you said, you use my favorite, tempo and accuracy. Well, that's pretty much, if you don't have those two things, you don't have balance. So, you're going to learn what you need to improve on just from hitting the wall. If the ball doesn't come back, you didn't do it right. It's real simple. So great.
No, and it's hard. It's honestly hard to make it simple, because there are so many options and so many things you could do. So it's
simple.
Yes.
It's a huge part of the challenge, to be honest.
It's complicated to do it, but keeping the one thing. What's the phrase, Bobby? Keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
That simple. Kind of simplicity.
I like that.
Not that what you do is easy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah.
No, I could certainly screw it up. I could add 10 things in 2 seconds and say, yeah, but we're missing the point. You used all the right words. And so next thing, how do we introduce it to Atlanta? How do we get whether you come down and introduce it? Where are you putting it in predominantly now? Where's been your best customer? Obviously, indoor tennis facility.
We're just starting, like I said. So it's indoor facilities. And ideally, if there is extra space, because the medium is not proven on the court yet, to keep it simple. Whereas, if you popped in 2 to 4 of these on one end court against a concrete wall, I could prove it in 5 minutes. But somebody's gonna want to do that.
Right.
So really, any additional space, and you did ask. About that. So it's for the full version, 15 by 30 feet.
Okay.
And then you need about 9 feet high ceilings. Then you can hit all out.
No, but you're right. I mean, you could do this multi-court and just line up people, and it's like, a modified ball machine court.
Yes, and incorporate it if you make that part of your younger kids' courts, where you have more courts going across the court, to have that as one station or two stations in the corners, I think will function very, very well.
Oh my God, that would be unbelievable. With the kids, like you said, just run them through stations. They're constantly moving. They're constantly getting a new stimulus. They won't be bored. They will not be bored.
And you get some tangibles. Might even help, letting mommy know why little Joey is not ready for next group yet.
Oh, wait, no, that never happened. Alexander, I can't believe that happened.
No, we'll find a way.
I'm just picturing like the boot camp workout places where you have to go to each station and going around. Just have the kids going through and have some coach in the middle with 100 kids and 10 of these. It wouldn't be difficult to maximize. That's an expensive setup, but you can get a lot done.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I agree 100%. And I mean, another simple one for me is, essentially the mini version at some empty space, which can be much, much smaller in lobbies or what have you, right?
Wow. That'd be really spaces. Cool.
Yeah.
And you said they're not portable at all, or they're just not designed to be portable?
They're not designed to be portable yet.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Because I'm picturing
somebody theoretically build a portable one. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because that changes things as well down here with options.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of coaches are mobile. Him
and the schools with the basketball goals that get out of the way and come back in the way. This is the kind of thing you kind of swing down and plug in. You got all the kids in the elementary school gym just playing tennis on these magic walls. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the projection, the image that's gonna be the trickiest.
Yeah.
When it comes to those.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Bobby, you got anything else, or am I hit him with King of Tennis?
Hit King of Tennis and then ask him how we get him down here to show us.
We've already got that email thread going.
Yeah, we can talk about that. We'll try to figure out a way.
That email thread has already been started, Bobby. Don't worry.
Very good.
So, Alexander, my favorite question we ask, and you know this is coming. So, my favorite question, King of Tennis. If Alexander Johansson is King of Tennis, whether it's for a day, however long it takes, if it's the world, if it's Sweden, if it's the U.S., anywhere, is there anything you would do or change? What you got for us?
Yeah, well, I think, first off, playing around a little bit with different formats, because I don't think it's sustainable that our matches are as long as they are. So I think what they're doing with like UTS, I believe it's called, is that's very interesting. And I've heard what that means for the players. They know how long they're gonna play. The audience knows that they're gonna get to see the best players. Et cetera. So it's kind of a different way of maximizing it. So it kind of makes sense to me to look into those kinds of things. And then I think when it comes to getting players, a large number of players to play without having another COVID, which helped us, I think truly selling the sport to the parents, the end user, in terms of the character building and the fact that you can, there are other ways you can do this, but tennis is extremely good, I think, at it. It's, you can build up something over a long period of time versus the instant gratification kind of thing, which I think that is a huge thing for any parent if we can actually have eventually an adult that has gone through that long journey, gained all the character traits needed to compete on a decent level, and then on top of that worked on something for such a long time that very 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 few people I think are going to do moving forward. So I think how we sell it to the end user, I think that's something the governing bodies should be really looking at. The compensation, obviously, for players, and maybe with different formats that can help a little bit. I think how coaches are compensated, it's a system that really doesn't work, I think, for younger generations. I think it's held up surprisingly well with people like ourselves, probably. But I think people going into the workforce now, looking for some kind of life quality and seeing some kind of a path. I don't think it makes sense. And I think fundamentally to have people getting paid the same based on the market or the club they're at, where it differs very little, and the only way you can climb the ladder is by taking on completely different roles that you might or might not be good at all, and not get to keep doing what you're actually great at. I think that fundamentally just breaks everything. Because if I'm a coach that works really hard, I got all the right intentions, maybe I'm pretty good, and then there's somebody else doesn't really care, they're not very good, and they're getting paid almost exactly the same. Like, where does that go from there? So I would like nothing more than a way of creating a coach rating.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Coach's rating. Bobby, I don't think we've heard that one before.
He started, and I was like, wow, he's done it again. He's come up. There's five different conversations more we can have from that closing. Fascinating. Love it. Absolutely love what you're saying and the little nuances that go with it. But I was like, wow, that's, but I do also, I think it's genius, really, to look at, and it speaks to the problem that the USPTA is having getting younger coaches. It's a different mindset. You know, for better or worse, as you said, we might have been dumb, because I'm probably the elder statesman in the room who said, I love something, therefore I'm content knowing that I'm probably going to work my entire life, where these kids don't want to commit to something like that. And if they don't see the immediate payback and enjoyment, they're not gravitating to it. And I obviously we're seeing that. So even though the argument, that's probably a great place to start the argument. How do we make it more attractive where people will dunk their toe in, with the realization there's a path? And of course, always there's a big difference between the salesperson and the sales manager. Why do we, if a person is great on the court, why do we think they're qualified to be a quote unquote tennis director? It's a different job, different job description. And unfortunately, like you said, in our occupation, but again, and that comes, screams to the conversation that we always put the blanket or the cloud over every conversation, the leadership of the sport in promoting our level. We're great at promoting the next great player, but the nuts and bolts of the industry and the guys who are in their 50s, who we all complain about and laugh at and say, okay, they haven't embraced technology, but if they're your backbone, there's a lot of issues going on. So, it's a great, great, you need to be at a USPTA convention.
I think that needs that. Unfortunately, I think it needs to be a third party. Very similar to
outside.
And
that's a great thing. I always say, I completely agree. I said, why do we always, if we're looking for the next head, why do we always go to somebody that's in tennis that has witnessed it? I laugh about, let's go to somebody from NASCAR who markets only left turns, or somebody from the WWE who markets something that is inherently fake, yet still fills arenas. These are the guys who got a little more work to do than tennis. Should be an easy sell right now. It's being played in an unbelievable level by unbelievable athletes. Probably the biggest discrepancy between the recreational and professional level is today. Shouldn't be a hard sell. And yet, like you said, short of COVID, what has tennis done over the last 30 years to really improve its position? So, I'd say that's a pretty good answer, King.
And then, at the end of that, people will hopefully start using a little bit more technology. And
yes.
Because if the current compensation system as well, I remember as I was looking around, it was especially here, I think, in the States, everything is hourly. So there's no time allocation to improving processes, including use of technology.
And, it goes, unfortunately, you're going to, because tennis is outdoors here, you're going to sit there and say, there's four facilities that we could speak to get this. But there are a lot of private baseball academies, as pickleball grows a little bit more, say, hey, look, here's a station. You drive over here. You're not coming in to get coached. You're coming in to get reps. You're going to get feedback instantly. And hopefully you'll be able to share it with your coach when you go take that next lesson. So just get the idea that you don't need to be on site to do this. We can do this someplace else, and you're not hurting my feelings because it's helping you become a better player. And that's what we're trying to do.
Bobby, we drop off the kids at Dave and Buster's, and we go to the hitting wall in the back. They take down where the ping pong room is, right?
Exactly.
The back there playing ping pong, and this wall is in there. And as a parent, we can go in and get some exercise and work on our game in a game place.
Exactly.
We make it as fun as a family venture as skee ball. You have the kids playing skee ball, and I'm out there hammering away on my forehands and backhands. Even in an area like this where actual tennis is outside.
Yep. Where is a facility that's big enough, that's doing something active, that you could bring and set this up as just another, different station. Hey, I have a baseball player who's taking a pitching lesson, but my tennis player, this way I don't have to drop. I'm not going crazy dropping them in two places, and I'm still getting feedback. I think that to me is the marketing angle down here, at least, unfortunately.
And just it's not batting cages.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. I like it.
Like it a lot.
All right, Alexander, we can go on like this forever. So let's take the rest of that offline, because I think what we're going to do is try to figure out how to help you get what you're doing down here. Bobby, I like the king of tennis answer. I think we can do hitting walls down here. You know me. I want my hitting walls in Atlanta. I've been trying to figure out how to do it. I hadn't considered it might be a magic hitting wall. I'm just thinking a hitting wall. But Alexander, I really appreciate your time, and we will follow up for sure and figure out how to tell everybody down here that they need to get in their rackets hitting wall. And we will share all the information in the show notes and everything and make sure everybody's got their links and how to communicate with you. And you said you're looking for initial partners.
Pioneer partners. They want to give it a shot for a year and go from there. Yeah.
I am sure we can find somebody to take you up on that. So let's follow up there as well. Alexander.
Quick question, Alexander. Have you spoken to anybody down here? So we don't make any repetitive
phone calls. Stepping on anybody's toes? Anybody down in the Atlanta area you already talked to?
I got to look at my docs, because it's been a lot lately from all over the place.
Yeah, just let us know, because that would I don't want to go someplace where something you've spoken to, but because again, there's only six places right away for the obvious, and then you got to go a little bit deeper into a Dave and Buster's.
There's nobody that's pulled the trigger, so
okay. Well, Alexander, outside of the whole Aggies thing, I've really enjoyed it.
Well, good deal.
Go
well,
Frogs.
You guys done pretty good.
All right, thanks, Alexander. Bobby, as always, we'll do it again. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. We want to thank Rejuvenate.com for use of the studio. And be sure to hit that follow button. For more tennis-related content, you can go to AtlantaTennisPodcast.com. And while you're there, check out our calendar of tennis events, the best deals on Technifiber products, tennis apparel, and more. If you're a coach, director of any racket sports, or just someone who wants to utilize our online shop, contact us about setting up your own shop collection to offer your branded merchandise to the Atlanta tennis world. And with that, we're out. See you next time.